thank Ryan for his kind words and what this church, what his family, what other families have meant to myself and to my family. I am a product of the City Church. I'm a product of staying connected to God. I'm a product of staying connected to the church is what I am. I got saved over there a little longer than 10 years ago. It was closer to 14 years ago. And I just stayed connected. And it, you know, and Ryan said I made moves. It wasn't easy for me to make those decisions. It was some of the hardest decisions I've had to make and that I'm still making. I'm still moving in a direction to stay connected to the right people, to stay connected to the church. And if you're not connected, there are so many ways to get connected. I mean, you have every way to get connected. Men, women, kids, church, St. Anthony's, everywhere. There's a way to be connected to the church. So, and just Ryan has, you know, we've grown to like each other and we've grown as brothers, not as blood, but as brothers in Christ. And just relationships that I've had here are just amazing. So I just want to give it back to you guys, because without you, without Christ, I wouldn't be here. So let's just give the Lord a hand. And really, I'm going to move this down just a touch. Jeff told me to put it down there, and I was like, ah, that's a little low. Well, one, I just want to say that this shirt, I waited about 3 weeks to wear. I got this in the mail. Thank you. I waited. I was like, I want to wear this shirt, and then Aaron asked me to speak, and I'm like, I can't wear the shirt just anywhere, so I have to wear it Thursday night. So thank you. And I think it was Kathy or could have been Aaron. They're like, you kind of sound like a girl right now. I'm okay with that. So, and I just want to thank everybody for coming out. And, I mean, coming out on a Thursday night, busy week. And I just hope you're having a great week. And I really appreciate you coming out. I really feel like the Lord has put something on my heart to share. It's there. I asked him to speak to me. I asked him to give me a word, and it wouldn't leave my heart. So I believe this is for somebody. Even if it's just one person tonight, I believe it's for somebody. If you don't know me, my name is Bradley Trzyski. I'm a follower of Christ. I am a husband. I'm a father of two girls, Taylor and Riley, and that's who I am. And as I told you in the beginning, I am a product of staying connected to God and staying connected to this church. This Sunday, well, the past Sunday that we just had, we had a loss in the family. So, but I just want to say, Kelly, we celebrated 12 years on Sunday. So I just want you to give Kelly a hand. If you see Kelly, give her a hug. Tomorrow and Saturday are going to be a big day for her. We lost a grandma, if you remember, Grandma Rich, that sat with us for a couple years down here. We lost her, but she's dancing on the streets of gold. She lost her husband around 50 years old, so she's with her husband, and that's where she's wanted to be for the longest time. So, and let me pray. Father God, you know that I'm standing here because of you. And God, I just know that what I am is because of you. And I just pray that you speak through me, articulate through me. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me in everything that I say and do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I get going, I just want to let you know, I take this position, this space very seriously. I don't take it lightly. I spent a lot of time studying. 4 o'clock comes really early, and I know you might say that sounds crazy, but I have to do it. That's the time I can do it. And I want to let you know, I take this, me standing here, very, very, very seriously. One, I'm trying to articulate what God put in my heart, and I'm in a position to share with you. So I just want to let you know, if I seem serious, inside I'm just a little boy, but I just want to deliver a message to you that God has put on me. My story right now, I'm raising a 4-year-old little girl, Taylor. I got a 6-month-old, Riley, and it's a very unique time in my life. Every word that you say to a 4-year-old little girl is written in stone. Everything you say to them, it's like they have a notebook and they're just keeping everything in this little notebook. And the title of my message is My Daddy Says. Because if you're around a little girl, she's going to bring that up. And about 8 to 12 months ago, I walked in the room and she was talking to Kelly, and she said to Kelly, "My daddy says," or she's out with somebody, or she's at church, or she's somewhere, and she's like, "My daddy says." And then if she's saying it around me, and she knows it's something that she should be saying or doing, she says, "Right, daddy? Right, daddy?" Until you say, "Yes, Taylor, you're right. You're right." So a couple things that she says, my daddy says. She says, "My daddy says I have to sit at the table and eat all my food. If I eat all my food, I keep growing. See my muscles and see my hair. If I keep eating all my food, I can have a snack. My daddy says not too many snacks. My daddy says I can watch one show. My daddy says I can play. My daddy says I have to wash my hands." And on, my daddy says all these things. It's not that Kelly hasn't said them. It's something about the reinforcement of a father's voice to her that brings this out of her that says, "My daddy says." I want to read a story to you out of the Bible. And just stay with me. It's not too long. It's out of Genesis 22, 1 through 13. So if you have your Bible, raise your hand. If you have something that has the Bible on, raise your hand. If you don't have the Bible, raise your hand. Now slap yourself in the face. I'm just kidding. I didn't have my Bible on me last week, and Christian said that, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. But Genesis 22, 1 through 13, out of the New Living Translation. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called. "Yes," he replied, "here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you." The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey, took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God has told him about. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and saw in the distance. He said, "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told his servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulder, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to his father and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have fire, we have wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar at the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, an angel called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Don't hurt him in any way. For now, I know you truly fear God, you have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. So he took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Now, if you just read the story, it just sounds like, hey, God spoke to Abraham. He's supposed to kill his son. God told him to not kill his son, and then he had a burnt offering, and we move on. But I want to give you the picture of the story. Okay, Abraham was promised a son. His son Isaac didn't come until Abraham was 100 years old. Isaac is the son through whom Abraham's descendants would be counted. God called Abraham. Abraham knows his father's voice and says, "Here I am." God tells Abraham to take Isaac to Moriah and sacrifice him on one of the mountains. I would be like, "What?" I'd be like, "What are you talking about? God, is that you? Is that really you?" But Abraham knew his father's voice. God didn't say, walk over to Isaac right now and kill him. This sacrifice had to be planned out. They had to travel 3 days to Moriah. They had to gather wood. They had to bring two servants, bring a donkey. When he got to the place, Abraham had to prepare a place for the sacrifice. He made his son carry the wood from the altar. Isaac even questioned his father, and he says, "Where is the lamb?" Abraham had to tie the boy up, lay the son on the altar. This could not have been a calm and peaceful situation. Isaac was just a boy. I could see it now. Internally, Abraham dying inside, knowing that he has to kill his son. I mean, he lied to his son. He said, "The Lord will provide." He didn't say, "I'm about to kill you." He said, "The Lord will provide." God didn't speak to him yet and say that he's gonna get a different offering. I could see him weeping as he tied up his son. Isaac, terrified as his dad ties him up, screaming at his father as Abraham lifts up the knife over his head. And then Abraham. And he says, "Yes," Abraham answered. "I'm listening." The angel of the Lord said, "Don't hurt the boy." When I read this scripture, I wept. And I said, "God, let me hear your voice like Abraham can hear your voice." I did. I was in the basement in my office, and I just was like, "God, let me hear your voice the way Abraham heard your voice. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice." Abraham knew the voice of his father. He listened to God. He did not question God. He responded immediately, and then he followed God's commands. We must know the Father's voice like Abraham. Remember, you know, I was telling you about Taylor and the things that she says. And they're all simple things that a parent should say, or simple things that I get from Patty or Ryan or Sam or Chris or the other moms and dads in this place, because I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised to speak into my daughter. I was not. So I'm taking all these bits of information, and all that stuff is what I'm supposed to be doing anyways. And I'm being affirmed by fathers and mothers on how to raise my kids. But I also hear things like this come out of Taylor. "I can do it. I am brave. Teamwork makes a dream work. Take your time. It's okay to make a mistake. Make it right and try again." I ask her, "What are we going to have today, Taylor?" She says, "A good attitude." I ask her, "How high do we fly?" She says, "As high as an eagle." And I say, why do we fly as high as an eagle? She says, because they fly the highest. And I ask her, how high are our thoughts? She says, as high as an eagle. I ask her things like, who made us? She's like, God, Jesus. I'm like, all right, that sounds good. God, Jesus. Who made the stars in the sky? And she says, God and Jesus. I say, what are we thankful for? Friends and family. She knows these things because these are the things we're spending time talking about. She wants a voice of direction. She does. She wants yes and no. She does not want maybe. She asked me one time after church, and she knows that's our time. She says, I want to go see Grandma. And she knows that I'm going to say no. And she says, Daddy, are we going to go see Grandma? Are we? And I said, no, Taylor, we're going to spend time together. She didn't want me to say maybe. She wanted me to say a yes or a no. She wanted direction. God the Father's voice is not maybe. It is yes or no. And I can say all this, and you could walk out of here, but how do we hear the voice of the Father? One more slide. Maybe I didn't have that on there. Oh, that's the real stuff. Sorry, Jeff. That's the real stuff. I thought this picture was awesome. That's supposed to be my hand. That's supposed to be my kid's hand. But that's the real stuff, like the things that I was telling you about that I'm telling Taylor. So I just thought it was a neat little slide. How do we hear the voice of the Father? We need to spend time with the Father. Like I'm spending time with Taylor, I need to spend time with him. I need to talk to him. I need to have conversations with him. And it's not the easiest thing to do because sometimes we come to the Father with our shames and our pain and our hurts, and we think that he doesn't know already, but we're afraid to tell him when he's just wanting to have that conversation with us, and he's just wanting us to give it to him. We need to be praying. Ephesians 6:18 tells us, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And we need to be reading. We need to be reading the Word of God. If we read in Hebrews 4:12 out of the New Living Translation, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive. It is alive. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And then we need to listen. We need to take time with our busy lives, with our everything that's coming at us, with our social media, with our emails, with our texts, with all these alerts that are coming at us. There's a time for that, but then there's a time we need to shut that off and we need to listen for the Father. And I wasn't going to share this, but I'll tell you, I asked God, I said, God, I need help. I need help sharing your word. I need help sharing. God, please give me a story. Give me a scripture. Tell me a story. Give me something to share. I can't do this. So I was out running early, real early. And time is changing right now. It's dark at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I went out running. And I'm running down South Pearl. You're on North Pearl. You're on South. North Pearl. I was running down North Pearl. And I'm praying and I'm asking God to speak to me, speak to me. And as I'm running, the stars and the are out, and it's just me, and it's pitch black out. There's nobody. And God said to me, he said, Abraham. And I said, I don't know about Abraham. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're saying, God. And he said, Abraham. And then the story came to me about how he listened to his Father. He didn't question his voice. When God the Father spoke to Abraham, he answered. He said, here I am. I'm listening. Somebody give me an amen. I'm going to take a drink of water. Riley's giving me an amen. She's going to be our little talker. Taylor, she's like, I don't know where she gets that from, but she's like, I'm going this way, and I might give you a look going this way, but I'm going to keep going this way, and if you catch me, you're going to correct me, but I'm going to keep on moving forward. Thank you, Riley. So hear me. If we are not doing these things, we will be distracted by every voice that comes along. We will be tossed around like a leaf. This will give the devil the opportunity to entice us, deceive us, defile, torment, enslave, and ultimately destroy us. I think about Jesus, the Son of Man. He knew the Father's voice. He knew it so well, three times the devil tempted him. In Matthew 4:4, 7, and 10, Jesus was tempted by the devil. And every time Jesus responded, for the scripture says, the Father says. The Pharisees challenged Jesus at every turn that he made. Jesus always responded with truth and wisdom from God. The Father's voice. The Father's voice, this is what it's not. Hear me, this is for somebody. Somebody's been listening to this nonsense in their head. Somebody's been believing this right now. The Father's voice is not destructive. It's not confusing. It's not doubtful. It's not condemning. It's not contradicting. God's voice does not tear down. It does not misdirect. Ryan talked about direction, moving in a direction. God's voice is not deceiving. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The Father's voice does not say, go here, go there, do this, do that, look at this, look at that, touch this, touch that. He doesn't say, you're no good, you won't amount to anything. You won't change. Take this and it'll make you feel better. Give up. That's not what the Father's voice says. I'll add a couple more things. I wanted to leave this out, but for me, God's voice didn't say, Brad, you're going to be like your parents. You're going to be like your father. You're going to be like your mother. He didn't say that to me. Psalms 29:4 in the New Living Translation, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. And these are the things the Father's voice does say, or the Father's voice is. The Father's voice is direction. The Father's voice is hope, joy, peace, love, eternal, everlasting, and comforting. Those are the things the Father's voice is. In Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. I am a product of God's word being spoken over me. I am a product of God's word being spoken in me. I am a product of reading the Bible. I am a product of the living Word of God. The Father's voice says, you are more than a conqueror. You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. You can do all things. I will strengthen you. You've been washed clean. I will restore you. I am the way, the truth, and the light. You are not your past. I will be with you every day. Lean on me. Come to me. I will lift you. Open the door. I want a relationship with you. You're going to make it. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I swing my 2 feet on the ground in the morning. And I put my feet on the ground. I said, Brad, you got to get up. You got to make good choices today. There's negativity in your brain. It's coming. Not because I want it there, but because of the things I've seen. Because of the things I seen when I was raised. There's things that you have to fight every day. I don't know what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're going to make it. So I swing my 2 feet on the ground and I say, Brad, you're going to make good choices today. You got to serve God today. You got to live for your family today. You got to go make some money today. You got to have good relations today. It's not going to be easy texting Ryan today. You haven't talked to him in 2 days. It's not going to be comfortable. You haven't seen Marty in a day. It might not be comfortable texting. You haven't talked to Patty in a week. It's not going to be comfortable. You know, you want to share something with a friend that's going through. It's not going to be comfortable. But I have to make those decisions. I have to stay connected. Hey, you know, you and Booty, you know, you had something going on the other day. You were goofing around with each other. Did you offend him? Did you not offend him? Should you talk to him? Shouldn't you talk to him? Those are the things that you got to be thinking about. And I just want to let you know, you're going to make it. You can get through it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I say it again. Don't give up. Swing your two feet on the ground in the morning and say, don't give up. You got to make good choices. You have to make good choices. And I'm going to close with this. We must know the Father's voice like Abraham. He knew his Father's voice so clear. I could have ended this. I could have ended this at Abraham. Abraham. Yes, Father, I'm listening. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that? I just want to hear him like that. I want to hear God the Father like that. God, here I am. Lead me, guide me today. He did not question God's voice. He did not wonder who was talking to him. He knew his Father's voice. God is not asking us to sacrifice one of our children. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for us. God is asking us to give our lives to him. He wants Jesus to live in us. He wants the power of the Bible, the living word to guide us, and he wants the Holy Spirit to direct us. We must be led by the voice of the Father so we can be led, so we can lead our lives, our families, and help others lead their lives correctly. Amen. And I just want to say, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Because this is none of me. This is God speaking to me. This is me spending time. This is me getting up early. This is me leading and listening to him. This is me intentionally finding time to get in God's word. So we're going to pray. If somebody needs prayer, there's no condemnation down here. There's nothing. If you just want somebody to pray for you, hey, lead me. Help me, God. Lead me, God. We'll help you. We'll pray for you. We'll ask God to lead you and be with you in every step that you make. So, Lord, I just pray for these people. I just pray that your word went out and it's not going to go void. God, I just pray that that person that might have thought giving up, that person that even, God, that person that even has thought about suicide, that person that has said, I'm giving up, that person that has said that I can't do this, that person that has said, this negativity has gotten me, this person that's stuck in a trap, God, help them tonight. Let us pray for them. God, I just pray that you help them. But God, for the person that hears your voice, God, I just pray that they can speak into somebody else. And God, I just pray for this night. I just pray that, I just thank you for it. I just thank you for every word that was spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer, come on down. I'll pray for you. Ryan will pray for you. Dee will pray for you. Anybody. Chris will pray for you. So let's just give the Lord another hand clap.